I like that Steve brought up the names of God. The first year we came to Bly, in the bulletin every week for pretty much a whole year, we had a different name of God. So do the math on that, 50-ish. There's a lot out there, and we even have our light plates at our house has a different name of God on each plate. Jesus is a carpenter. He is the door. He is the branch. He is the light.
He's the vine.
He's the vine. And the
vine. Yeah.
We are the branches, yes. Well, I'm going to start today off with a story. There's my PowerPoint. So there was this man. He was working in his dream job. This was the job he thought he was going to retire from. He loved this job. It was at, if you can tell, that's a library. And he loved going in every day. His job was cataloging the books. That means when the new books came in, he's the one that put the sticker on the side of the spine and the barcode on the back of the book. He got it ready to go out and for people to read and check out. He loved reading the books. He loved the people he worked with. And he loved the library in which he worked. But then something happened. This man got a new director, and for one reason or another, they did not get along with each other. Things were said, complaints were made. On the part of the man was doing some things that he shouldn't have been doing, saying some things that he shouldn't have been saying. And even though the boss was also doing some of these things, he was not in the power to, even though he tried to make a few things right, was not in the power to stay in his position, and ended up losing this job. He was angry. He complained a lot. And he felt the world was against him. But then his focus changed. Some opportunities came up in the church he served at to expand his role into a more director role, and he helped in children's ministry for the next 3 years. And in the course of those 3 years, he felt that even though he had gotten a new job outside of the church, that he felt that his role in the church was getting to the point that he enjoyed it and felt called to it more than his job. So he thought, well, you know what? If I went through the licensing process with the denomination, I could get paid to do this, so I wouldn't have to have a job. And so he decided to go for this licensing. Just a short time after going into this licensing process, the assistant district superintendent called him on the telephone and said, "Hey, we have a church for you." He says, "A church for me?" And he kind of explained what his motivation in licensing was to kind of build himself up, start from the bottom, go up. And he's like, "No, we have a senior pastor role for you." So this man talked to his wife about it and talked to his family about it. And lo and behold, just a few months later, well, this church became our new home. That's Standing Stone Church in Bly. If you've never seen it before, it was originally called, when we moved here, the Christian and Missionary Alliance Chapel of Bly. Say that 10 times fast. And we've been there for a little over 4 years. And also, as of recently, in the interim role, as of the end of July, here at Westside, that's a pretty old picture, I'm guessing, but it's the only one I could find online. I think it came from the maps, MapQuest or something. But regardless, the point being is I had it in my mind a very certain way that my life was going to go. Things happened Actually, a little bit within my control, but some of it outside of my control. Things were going horribly, and then something very great and wonderful happened. And I'm giving you a passage today, and you saw it probably in the beginning. We're going to be hanging out there, James chapter 1. I'm giving you a passage today, not so much that gets misquoted, because the last 2 weeks we've had verses that get misquoted. This is a doctrine or practice that gets misquoted, and this is going to be the verse that refutes a misquoting. And it's a doctrine that says that if you love God, then you will be blessed with health and wealth. And I've taught before that if you have a viewpoint, any viewpoint you can think of, you could probably find Bible verses to support this view. But what if I said, never read a Bible verse? Read the context around the verse, learn what is being said and taught. And read the whole context of the Bible, because you can find stuff in the Bible to agree with your view, but you won't find passages or the context of the Bible to agree with something that you just think should be. So our passage today comes from the book of James, and James has a lot of verses in it that do get misquoted. But today, we're looking on one that doesn't get misquoted as much as it gets glanced over. And if you have your Bibles open, and if I don't say this enough, because I don't say this enough, have your Bibles open. Because while I hope I do my homework well, it's good to have 30-ish people reading along with me. And it also helps you keep it in your head and in your heart a little better if you have your Bibles open with me. So hopefully I give you enough time and have given you enough time to find James chapter 1. And in it, James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Last week I gave you the formula for joy. When it comes to finding real joy, you must first serve Jesus. Make him your number one. We're going to flip over to Matthew 22 real quick, and then we'll be back in James. "Teacher," he's being asked, "which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Sound familiar? Did we read this in Deuteronomy already? "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend all the law and the prophets." So here we have, just in that passage, love God, and we can say serve Jesus in that. That's our J. Serve others, that's the O. Those two together should complete you, right? But you can't neglect yourself. If you are serving Jesus and others in Jesus' name and not serving yourself, then you're going to burn out on love. Make sure you complete that joy. Give yourself some time with the Lord and learn what he has for your life. And finding joy can be an interesting adventure. Because if I think of joy, I can close my eyes and I can think of my favorite restaurant. Watching a good science fiction movie. Having a nice can of Diet Mountain Dew. Spending time at Awana that we serve at in Lakeview, spending some time with my family doing things, serving in Bly, serving here. These are all things that bring me joy. And if you saw my notes, in front of me, you would see that there are points when I spell out joy capital J, capital O, capital Y, and then lowercase j, lowercase O, lowercase Y. And there is a difference between the two. In caps, I'm talking about this Jesus, others, yourself. And when I'm talking about lowercase joy, I'm talking about the blessings that we have and the emotion we feel, or the action of joy we feel in experiencing joy. And the lowercase is what we're actually going to be focusing on today, because I want to talk about the lowercase joy and how people misquote what it means. I just illustrated what I thought of when I thought of joy: Wendy's, Star Trek, Mountain Dew. It can be in that order, or any order, really. But I would wager your answers would be different, but probably not much different. You could probably think of a favorite restaurant, or a program you like to watch, or a beverage you like to drink. But if we're thinking of our Christianity, some might come to the conclusion that because we are Christians, or because we go to church, or because we do good things, then we have a right to joy. We have a right to have good things happen to us if we are Christians and go to church and do good things. But that's where we get it wrong. We are blessed by our Creator. That is true. Listen to John 1:16. Out of His fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Because of Jesus' life and sacrifice, we have the ultimate blessing, which is grace. Undeserved grace. Nothing we did earned it. And we don't have to do anything to keep it or add more to it. What more is there than having eternal life with Jesus in heaven? That's not to say that there aren't blessings in life. I have been blessed with a wonderful wife, 5 children whom I love very much. And I've been blessed to be able to serve in Bly and here at Westside. I've been blessed in many ways, but I did nothing to earn any of these blessings. Because some people out there believe that they have to earn their blessings. And I'm going to tell you about them. I'm going to throw up a philosophical term up there: moralistic therapeutic deism. Say that 10 times fast. We're going to break that down. 3 words: moralistic, therapeutic, and deism. Moralistic meaning God wants me to be a good person and not a jerk. Therapeutic means that God or religion should help me feel good. Who's ever heard the phrase, "Oh, I go to church because it makes me feel good"? And deism, meaning that God is a concept to decorate our lives with, but not an agent who really does anything. Of particular interest in these 3 words is the word therapeutic. If I go to church and do certain things, or give X amount, or serve in so many ways, then I will be blessed. This therapeutic thinking gets a lot of people in trouble and is harmful to believers, especially new believers. Let's say if I announce to the congregation, "God will bless each and every one of you if you put an extra 20 in the basket in the back." And let's say everyone does that. They were like, "Okay, fine, I'll put an extra 20 in." Not because they want to, but because I said you're going to be blessed if you do it. And we want to be blessed, so we do it. And a week goes by, I come back up here and I said, "Who was blessed this week?" And a few of you might raise your hand and be like, "Oh, I was blessed. I found $20 in my couch." I was like, "Woohoo, put that in the plate too." And I could say, "Well, that's because of the extra 20 you gave. God is paying you back." But what about the person who wasn't blessed? What about the person who comes, they gave their last 20 that they were going to put in their car. Now they ran out of gas, couldn't get to work, lost their job. And then they're walking their dog and the dog gets hit and killed by a truck because they couldn't put their dog in the car. That's a country song right there. You lose your car and your dog dies. There you go.
That could potentially be a blessing because then you don't have to pay for the dog food.
That's true. Yeah. Now you don't have to pay for dog food. You don't have your man's best friend anymore, but you don't have to pay for dog food. Well, I say, and I could say to that, well, you just need to give more to get those blessings. Would I ever say, and I would never say stuff like that. I will never say anything like that, that God will bless you based on what you give. We do not serve a God of transactions. We do not give to God in order to get something in return, and I will never preach that. What I will preach is this: if you want, I want you to serve in all caps joy. Serve Jesus, serve others in Jesus' name, serve yourself in Jesus' name. And when you do, blessings will come, but not as payment for your good, but as a gift from a God of grace. Another thing we have to look forward to as believers are trials of various kinds. Our passage said that today. Think again to the person who lost their job, and then their dog gets hit by a car and killed. If their motivation in slipping that extra 20 in church was to get something extra from God, then this person is going to be sorely disappointed. May even walk away from the church, and in the extreme, they might even badmouth the church. And if you think that's an extreme, I have experienced it. I have seen people walk away from the church over trifles like this. On the other hand, let's take that false blessing pastor out of the equation. But the same things happen in the new believer. They do lose their job. Their dog does die. They lose their vehicle. They gave their last 20 at church, but not because the pastor said anything, but because they said, hey, you know what? I want to bless someone else, and I want to give this out of love, even though things aren't going well for me right now. And they come out of worshiping. They come out worshiping. Because they see the eternal blessing and the eternal blessings that are coming, not the earthly ones that may or may not come. Their focus is on Jesus first, then others, then themselves. And while this person is just a story, the original story at the beginning, that was me, if you didn't pick that up, but this story is just make-believe. Well, this person is just a story. I have heard testimonies like this that end with a story like this. Go to church, find the missionary the church supported, and that extra 20 that somebody put in helped fund the missionary that the church supports. If not for that 20, the missionary would not have met their goal because of this person. In the midst of their trial, they received a great blessing that, while not directed toward them, was received because their attitude was toward their giving. They gave to support and received a blessing. The blessing was a bonus, and the trial and hard times were just something they had to go through. I wish I had a picture of this illustration. I, oddly enough, don't have it in my notes. Came to me as I was just speaking. There was, you're familiar with Christmas shoeboxes. You're familiar with missionary boxes and things sent to missionaries and stuff like that. And there was this missionary who worked in a village in Africa. And there was this woman who was pregnant. And this woman who was pregnant had come out of a rough lifestyle. They were expecting the baby to be born premature and possibly not survive. And so The baby was born about two and a half months premature. This is in Africa. This isn't in the United States where, okay, you're born at 7 months and, okay, we need to watch you, but you're probably going to be fine. This is like the baby probably won't survive. And well, Africa is Africa, and you don't expect things to get cold. Night comes and it does get cooler. And the only thing this woman really wanted when her baby was born was to have something to keep the baby warm at night. And so she was praying for a hot water bottle. You know, those little rubber things you put hot water in and it stays warm for quite some time. So the day the baby was born, a package came, and inside the package was toys and notebooks and stuff for kids and clothes and all this stuff. And right at the bottom of the box, sent to Africa, was a hot water bottle. And there was a little note in it that said, and I can't remember the kid's name, so we'll call him Jimmy. Little Jimmy brought this in and he said, "I think somebody needs this." And so they put it in. The box had been sent and prepared before the woman was even pregnant. Blessings come all over the place. Trials come all over the place. And sometimes our trials are rewarded, sometimes they're not. We get tests of faith. We all have those things that go wrong in our lives, and maybe there is someone in town that rubs us the wrong way. Or coworkers that we take joy in griping about. These are tests and trials to produce steadfastness. And when we hit those difficult hurdles or speed bumps, know that on the other side of them is an eternity. And that if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that eternity is something to look forward to. And we have trials and tests all through our lives. But it is how we view God and how we relate to God that helps us through them. Many people think of God as a concept. We pick and choose what attribute we want God to have, and then we apply them. Unfortunately, we often attribute human attributes to him. But if we use his word and think of God in the way he describes himself, in a concrete way, we will see God as a God of love. There's that extra money in the plate. 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. He is a God of grace. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. A God who gave everything for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So my question for you today is, do you want a God that you have designed? One that you have made?
No.
One that owes you back whatever you've put in?
No.
Thank you, Thomas.
Yeah.
Or do you want a concrete God?
No.
One who loves you more than anything else in creation?
No.
Some of you might think, if you knew all the stuff I've pulled in my life and how many times I've denied God, you'd know he can't love me as much as some other Christians. I'm going to tell you this here and now. There is no amount of sin that will make God love you any less. And on the flip side, there is no amount of good works you could do or money you can give or volunteering you can do that will make God love you more. But there are things you can do in your life that will open up your heart and allow you to love him more. God will never love you more. He's already loved you enough to send his son to die. That's love. But we can love him more. And that's my urging today. Don't do things for God to expect something in return. Open yourself up to his eternal blessings. Open up to loving him more. And you will be blessed. And you will have trials. And sometimes life will stink. And sometimes life will be great. But through it all, you will never do it alone again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. There are people out there who give you attributes that are not yours. You are not a bank that we deposit into and with expecting to get something back. You are one that invests in us, giving us grace and mercy and love. And we just surrender to your will. And we thank you for the blessings you do give us. And sometimes those blessings are wonderful. They're monetary, they're emotional, they're great. Sometimes the blessings are trials. Sometimes you give us a blessing of a trial to teach us something. And I thank you for those as well. And I thank you for these words of James that we would not glance over them, but read them with our whole heart and understand that though things in life may not always go the way we want them to, or things in life might not go as we planned, that you are with us and our eternal blessing is great and wonderful and one we can look forward to. And we thank you for that blessing, Lord Jesus. Amen. And may his blessings find you this week. Not because you've done anything to earn them, but because he does give them freely. Amen, and go in peace.